Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Bada, bada boom, sold.
Huh?
Just sold my car on Carvana. Dropping it off and getting paid today.
Already?
What, you still haven't sold yours? You told me about it months ago. Is the offer good?
Oh, the offer's great.
Don't have another car yet?
I could trade it in for this car I love.
Come on, what are we waiting for?
Ah, you're right.
Let's go.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back again to another great show of the Expressway. Here I am, Charles, show me the way, here with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. You are watching us live on NFLAlumniMedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesdays from 10:15 to 11:15 on NFLAlumniMedia.com. You will catch us each and every Wednesday at 10:15, checking out, learning about all the ins and outs of New York Giants, New York Jets, the New York sports scene, and the rest of the world of sports, as well as check out some of our other compadres, our fellow NFL alumni players who have their own podcast. You can check us all out right here on NFLAlumniMedia.com. And if you can't catch us live on NFLAlumniMedia.com, you can always check us on YouTube every Friday starting at 9 a.m. in the morning. You can check out the show each and every Friday beginning at 9 a.m. on YouTube every week. But BT, we got a lot to talk about. Our Giants, they actually played well against the Rams, who needed a game. They had a chance to win. I got a couple of coaching kind of questions as it relates to that game that I want to kind of take you through. We also got the Jets talking about how they, defense didn't show up against the Browns last week. So we can talk about that on Thursday Night Football. But let's start with the Giants. How did you think Dabo's coaching kind of went through his kind of how he played out that game? Because they were in it. Special teams finally did something after what, 17 weeks of the season. They got a touchdown from special teams. It was actually an exciting game. I was at the game. I didn't want to leave. I usually leave pretty early to beat traffic. I didn't leave early. So what was your thoughts about the game and the coaching in that game?
Well, see, at the end of the season, which is really tough for me because when I was with the Giants, I think 3 out of 4 years, we ended the season badly. And the thing about it, when you end the season, you know who's ready to play. And I got to give Dabo a lot of credit because he got them ready to play the Rams. Rams are a playoff-bound team, or at least still in contention. And I thought that everybody played hard. And that's what you want from a coach's standpoint, because you're trying to see who's going to be there next year. You're evaluating your team deeply, as you know, and then you're trying to find the players that are going to be there. And I think that's what he's doing, but he's getting good results. He just has amazed me of how emotional he's on the sideline. Like I was listening to Herman Edwards, and Herman said you should bring somebody, grab him around the neck and just whisper to him. And he said he wouldn't do that if he was the coach. Dabo, he chastised the quarterback for the Giants.
Taylor.
He chastised Danny Jones when he came out the field. And if they can chastise those two people, they can chastise anybody. So I've never liked somebody to embarrass me in public. Just come speak to me and act like a normal guy. So that was my problem, because I always put myself in the position of another player if a coach yelled at me. Like I had a coach that yelled at me when I came off the field, or run the ball, run him over. And I'm thinking, well, you run him over. He's bigger than me.
Yeah, it can get pretty tough. You have to be a team psychologist to understand the different types of personalities you have on a team. And each and every personality is different. I still remember Art Shell. They did a thing on Art Shell, and John Madden. And John Madden said he knew he couldn't go up to Art Shell and cuss him out because he did it one time. And Art Shell said, look, when you do that to me, I shut down and it ain't anything good. And so John Madden told that story about him and Art Shell, how he had to approach Art Shell differently than he approached other players. And I just think if you're a good enough coach, you know what buttons to push on what players. And I think Daboll is the jury's still out to see if he's still pushing the right buttons. But given that they don't have anything to play for, they actually came and showed up. The one concern that I have is I don't see enough of Jalin Hyatt. He dropped a great pass in the beginning of the game. He should have caught. It was right in his hands. He dropped it. But outside of that first series or that first two series, he was non-existent. And I know everybody loved Darius Slayton, but he's not the future. Jalin Hyatt is the future. And you kind of want to get a little bit more of Jalin Hyatt to see if he is that legitimate superstar that we've been looking for so long.
But you know what I think, though? It's almost same thing we're talking about Daboll. When someone makes a mistake, he doesn't let them slide. And you saw that Hyatt has missed a couple passes over the months, and he's taken him out of the lineup for that. He's sat him on the bench for that. And I don't believe in that way when you have a young player with that kind of talent and that kind of speed. So I hope that they figure out a way to get along, because everybody makes mistakes in the game. Nobody's perfect, or they wouldn't be watching film on Mondays. So I kind of disagree, because I think he should treat him with gloves hand. See, the thing about the coaches, as you said before, and I'm reiterating, is that they have different ways to treat people. You can't treat everybody the same. And you know, I've learned that over the years from a coach's standpoint, a player's standpoint, and you have to find out how they like to be praised. And if you bring negativity into them, how are they going to act? So that's why I was kind of down on Daboll, because he didn't do what I thought he should do as far as the way that he treated the players. And that's
I totally agree with you. When you look at what they're doing on offense, I think Tyrod Taylor gives them the best chance to win games. Obviously, Tommy DeVito was a great story, but he isn't the future. When you turn your attention to potential draft picks, they're probably going to be picking anywhere between 5 and 8 based on how they finish this week. And when you look at that, I still think shore up the defense. I mean, I think you can find guards and centers, which they need. I don't think they should draft to go out and draft another tackle. You can find legitimate guards and centers either in free agency or second, third round of the draft. I really do think they need to focus on defense, shoring up, trying to find a massive, huge defensive tackle that's legit, that can actually help Dexter Lawrence in the run game, and another dynamic, explosive linebacker. Okereke has done well, but they need another linebacker that is a playmaking linebacker. I think the kid that they got from Arizona, that switched to linebacker, he's kind of showing a little bit. I think he's getting accustomed to the defense now and the defensive scheme. So that's exciting. I still think they don't have that dog in there yet that you can say, this is the guy that makes you afraid of the Giants defense. The Jets have it. Dallas has it. San Francisco has it, but I don't know if the Giants have that.
No, they do not have it, because if you were, say you were lined up at fullback, I was lined up at tailback, there's nobody on the Giants except for Dexter Lawrence that we would fear. And so that's what you want on defense, for them to think about, listen, we got this left defensive tackle, we got to worry about him. Or we got this linebacker on the right side, we got to worry about him. And Charles, they don't need another quarterback right now. I guess I'm going to have to keep with Danny Jones, because you got to pay him $40 million no matter what happens next year. So you might as well give him another opportunity, because before he tore up his knee, he was a pretty decent quarterback. And I don't know what's going to happen on that, but I think that they need more parts to be able to be in a championship team or playoff team next year. So I'm anxious to see what they do. But on offense, I like the center. His name is John Michael Smith from Minnesota. I like him. I watched him every game, and he's improved every game. He's got good technique. He's only a rookie and starting that many games. as a center when you got to be the quarterback of the offensive line. So I like that part already. And I think if they can continue to put parts in, they don't need a, I think they do could take another wide receiver because I believe about Darius Slayton being a little bit, you know, off. So I think that what they have to do now is just find some impact players and don't worry about the quarterback position right now, because if the offensive line's in order, if everything's cool, he'll have a chance to exhibit his skills, and that's exactly what we want.
And when you look, and you tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm missing something in today's NFL, a lot of the teams that are actually in the playoff and playoff contention, made the playoffs or upper echelon of the playoff caliber teams, most of those guys are playing with fullbacks. Look at what Miami's doing, even though, you know, look at what San Francisco's doing. I think because a lot of that, you come from college, you got a lot of safeties playing linebacker position. And so now you put that extra big lineman in there in the backfield, they don't have Kirkland, you know, Levon Kirkland's the 300-pound middle linebackers anymore, that you can't run the ball in the middle because you got not only the D tackles, but you got a 310-pound linebacker waiting to stop you from running up the middle. You got 210, 215, 220-pound linebackers trying to play the middle of the field because the game has turned into a passing game. So when you kind of change the dynamics and you start running the ball and you seeing teams having success run the ball, I think then you can kind of manage your quarterback, especially if you don't have an upper echelon quarterback or a top tier quarterback, you're able to manage the game. Look at what they're doing in Houston. Look at what CJ Stroud is doing. They have a running game. They're managing the game. They even though he's done a lot of great things in the passing game, they don't allow him to throw the ball 40 times a game.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And look at what Justin Fields is doing. Look at what Chicago. I mean, Justin Fields was on his way out of the league, not even traded to another team. They wanted to get rid of him because they thought he was a bust. He's putting up 30, 35 points a game.
Every game.
The last 6 or 7 weeks since he's come back from injury? So I think the jury is not still out on Justin Fields. I think he has proven himself. And if Chicago is smart, they build their team around Justin Fields instead of going for an unknown quarterback like the ones that may be coming out in the draft.
Totally agree with you, because I looked at him with the negativity early in the season because, you know, I get mad when a quarterback holds the ball too long, and he was doing that early. And now he seems to be in his rhythm, and I like that. I think Chicago is going to be one of those up-and-coming teams because of him. And so it's just going to be tough. The NFL, I still can't believe that we're going into the last week of the NFL season. There's no other sport that goes this fast. Basketball, certainly not baseball or hockey either, but the football season seems to make the world go faster. For some reason, I'm not just saying, you know, football fans, everybody knows 17th, 18th week of the season. Oh, and the question I wanted to ask you too, Charles, is that the NFL, you know, they have 17 games. They went to 17 games. And I was wondering how many players made all 16 games so far. And in the future, are they going to go to 18 games? Because it's hard to make 17.
Yeah, I think from what everyone is telling me, they're going to cut NFL preseason to 2 games, and they're going to add an extra game to 18. And so they're going to be 18 games, 2 preseason games, and we're going to go. You're not going to get good football in the beginning because obviously a lot of teams don't play their starters. But like I told you at the beginning of this season, if you have a young quarterback or an unproven quarterback, you got to go back to the old school of thinking about these preseason games. You can't worry about if your quarterback is going to get hurt. If he doesn't have experience or he doesn't get the reps, then you're not going to have a good team, and it's either your job or your quarterback's health. I would probably put the onus on my job as opposed to quarterback's health. Because if I can't get this quarterback ready and we start out 0-3, 0-4, then that doesn't give me a chance to make the playoffs.
But doesn't that show you how many bad coaches there are in the NFL? I told you that before. And then for them to even try to be sneaky and get rid of the fullback and the halfback, and then when things get tough, they go back to what they do best, which is bring in the halfback or the fullback and stuff. So that kind of makes me mad because it downplays, as we've said all year, both of us were running backs, that they don't treat us right. And I think it's because we do such a good job that they don't want to pay everybody, because every team has, you know, three or four good running backs and you don't want to pay everybody. So I'm anxious to see what happens as far as that's concerned. But I still think that your bread and butter is your running game in the fourth quarter when you got a lead.
Yeah, and that brings me to my next question before we end this segment and go to the Jets. What do we do with Saquon Barkley? Do you sign? You can franchise him one more year, or do you try to figure out a long-term deal, a solution for that?
That's a great question, because if you think of all the things that are characteristics of a New York Giant player, they got good, you know, they got good verbal skills. They get along with people. They're a team player. He's all that. So I would bring him back, because I like him when he's off the field. He's encouraging players on the sideline. I mean, he's showing a positive attitude. He showed it when he finally signed his contract. You could tell he was mad, but, you know, he did what he's going to do to help the team. So I would sign him to a little bit longer contract, because I still think he can play 8-9 years in the NFL.
Yeah. Do you think that – do you see – I just don't think he played with the power and impact. And you can – and that he did the last couple of years, and maybe it's because he's coming from injury, but hold that thought. We got to take a break, but we'll be right back talking more Giants football as well as New York Jets football and the state of where is Zach Wilson. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we just got finished one quarter of talking New York Giants football, as well as anything and everything about the world of sports, especially specifically football and the NFL and the ins and outs of the NFL. We just started talking about should the Giants sign...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Saquon Barkley back again, getting him off of, you know, taking him off. Should they franchise him or sign him to a long-term deal? How the NFL is going back to that two-back style, grounded, pounded type of game, keeping the quarterback from either losing it or winning it. Back to that just ball control offense, just trying to time a possession game instead of the run and shoot. Just let me just sling it 30 to 50 times a game. And so when we look at the Giants and we look at Saquon Barkley, we look at Daniel Jones, I think that if you're going to go with Daniel Jones and he's going to be your quarterback for the foreseeable future, you got to give Saquon Barkley some help. You got to get him a fullback that can block, that can lead block, and you got to get him a good two guards or one guard, find a guard that can come in, a young, not old, not one of these 15, 20-year veterans that's on their last legs, that if he gets tripped, he's done for the season. They need somebody that's about 25, 26 years old, that's good, healthy, and can play a game.
What scares me, though, Charles, is possibly, and I'm just going on a limb, with the New York Jets scouting department. They have had so many bad picks, and I don't understand. I really don't, because I have an eye for talent. I used to do college football and pro football at the same time, and I'd always give Ernie Accorsi like a name of a guy who I saw that I thought was a good athlete, and he ended up pretty good. So I thought I could have been a scout, but I didn't want to be. That wasn't in my class of doing things. But I think, you know, for them to pick two quarterbacks in the last 6 years in the top 10 and don't make it, to bring offensive linemen in like Beckham, who's supposed to be a star. He looks like a giant Goliath, and he plays like Jane. He's not very good. He doesn't get quick off the ball. He gets beat too many times. So I don't know what to say. And then I look at Zach Wilson, and he's going into his, I think it's a third week of concussion protocol. And, you know, I think that's a long time if you think about it, especially for the way he got hit. And I'm not downing it. I'm not disrespecting him. I just think that if you fight to come back, you can come back quicker. But then someone asked me the other day, do I feel sorry for Zach Wilson, what he's going through? And then I looked at what he made. He made $30 million. This is only his third year in the NFL. How could I feel sorry for him? And he doesn't even deal with the New York media well. He's you know, when it comes to clutch time, he's not there at all. Maybe that concussion protocol is for another reason.
Yeah, I you know, funny you say that. There was a story out about Kenny Pickett from the Pittsburgh Steelers saying that he didn't want to be the backup to Musgrave or Hargrave this past game. And so I don't know what these guys, if that's true, I don't know what these agents are telling their clients, but given how he's performed for the entire season, for the most part, he's not in a position to be commanding the fact that telling somebody what he will and what he won't do. I think just because the state of the quarterback in the NFL is so poor right now that someone like Pickett still has a lot of power.
That's a great point, because remember we talked about before, 50% of the top quarterbacks don't make it. And I listened to it. He came on this morning on one of the channels, and he was talking about how that rumor is not true. It's just he's still hurt. And that was the reason they put it out there. And the guy's name was, I can't remember the other quarterback for the Steelers, but I just think that their only problems is the quarterback position, because it seems like they don't have any offense. Even though they're 8-7, still have a chance for the playoffs, I think it's because of Tomlin as being a great leader more so than having a good team.
Yeah, and speaking, I know we're supposed to be talking about the Jets segment, but speaking about coaching decisions, how to have a feel, a pulse of your team. Tomlin made the switch at offensive coordinator. He wasn't happy with the offensive coordinator at the beginning of the season just because he didn't feel as though that he was utilizing his talent properly. Made the switch, and they started winning games, i.e., turn your attention to the Philadelphia Eagles. They make the switch because they were 10-3 when they made the switch. They had won 10 games. They were in first place in the NFC East. The number one had the best record in the entire NFC. And because you hear the media and fans saying that the defense is terrible, the defense coordinator is terrible, you're listening to people that have not been in the business at all. and you make a decision because you're getting pressure from the media, albeit Philly is a tough media town.
Yep.
You're making a decision based off of not your own experience, not your own professional opinion, but the opinions of others that aren't in the profession. I just think that's poor.
Well, see, couldn't your owner step up? And like I seen the Cowboy owner, which I don't know nothing about the Cowboys, but they stepped up to their defensive coordinator and gave him more money so that he would stay. Can't the ownership of the Eagles do the same? Because last year they had a great offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. Both of them went to other teams for more money. So I think the ownership should come in, because people don't know how valuable it is to have somebody running your show offensively and defensively that can put players in the correct position to help them win. This is the Eagle team is underachieving as far as I'm concerned. And I was shocked that they've lost two in a row now, and they're tied with the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones is talking about, you know, being the number two seed in the NFL and getting a week off. So I don't, you know, because I don't like Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, it makes me kind of queasy.
Yeah. Do you think that the Eagles have what it takes to beat San Francisco, the 49ers?
Well, see, that's what I don't know. When they had last year's offensive and defensive coordinator, I thought so. But then again, the quarterback, Brock, of the 49ers, he broke his elbow or something in that game. They were down to McCaffrey at quarterback. So, mm-hmm. We really are going to find out. I don't think they're as good as the 49ers right now. I think that they're not playing as smoothly, as disrupt-free as they have been in the past. And now mm-hmm. they're kind of in a slump, and they're going to test them out as individual players and as a team, what they're going to do when their backs are against the wall.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I still think the jury is still out. If you look at – my question is the decision to turn to Matt Patricia as their new offensive coordinator based on his past experiences. Look at what
– defense or offensive coordinator?
Defense.
Defense, okay.
Defensive coordinator. And based on what he did in New England – it wasn't a top 10 defense when he was in New England. They didn't have a top 10 defense when he was at Detroit. And now you bring him to a defense that's still one of the best defense. I'm talking about talent laden. They got depth. Which team outside of the Philadelphia Eagles have the type of depth? Not San Francisco. San Francisco, we saw that they don't have depth. Yep. When they lost their time. Look at the Jets. The Jets, even as good as the Jets defense is, they don't have depth. You're talking about a team in the entire NFL that has depth. And you look at the Philadelphia Eagles from on the defensive side of the ball. They got two deep on the D-line. People would die for the second string defensive line that the Eagles have. Yep. Right. Yep. And so when you look at the depth that the team have and has and the talent and what they've done in the draft, we just got finished talking about the draft, the talent that they've accumulated during the draft and the draft assets that they've accumulated and turned into great players. I think that you can't just automatically jump the gun and say, hey, it's the coordinator's problem. I think you just felt the pressure because he's a first year coordinator and you didn't give him a chance. Look at what Spagnuolo was a first year coordinator. He wasn't great all the time. But look at it, he won a Super Bowl for the Giants and became a head coach.
Well, the thing for me, though, is that, and take this into consideration, in all the years since the Super Bowl, very rarely has a team that came in second place or lost the Super Bowl come back and won it. I know the Buffalo Bills went to the Super Bowl four times in a row, but they lost all four. It's hard to get there in the first place. It's even harder to get back there. And I don't know if they got complacent because they don't look like the same team last year. And it has something to do with the coordinators offensively and defensively, but it has to do something with the players too. And Pat Patricia, he's going on recognition. He's not going on because he did a great job. None of Belichick's coaches have done anything. And it makes you see, because now, even though the Patriots are losing, they're still in the games because of their defense. And Bill Belichick has done a good job in there. His problem is the offense. And I think you bring in a guy who's a defensive coordinator over there that didn't have success in the past, and that's called retread. It makes me mad when they do that kind of stuff because there's so many young players, young coaches that can come in there and probably do a much better job.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I agree with you. And now, real quick, before we end the segment about the Jets, what are their needs in the offseason? Obviously, defense is pretty much solidified. Obviously, we talked about depth, maybe getting some more quality depth on the defensive side of the ball, but everybody knows their glaring need is the offensive line. But do you trust their general manager to do what he needs to do in free agency and the draft to solidify that offensive line? Because without an offensive line, Aaron Rodgers has no chance of being successful.
Well, the thing about it is that, as I said before, he's got to show me that he can bring in players that are really gifted and can blend in with what you have. I don't see that at all. The only thing that they have hope for, in my mind, is that Aaron Rodgers comes back strong because he'll make an adjustment of getting rid of the ball sooner if his offensive line is not that good. But the Jets owe it to him and their crowd and their fans to be able to bring in a quality offensive line, guys that can at least battle for you. When I watch the Jets offensive line, it concerns me that either they don't like the coach or they don't like the battle. And that's the thing that kind of makes me mad, because when you see an offensive lineman who's not beating up somebody or out there fighting on a running play, I think he needs to be gone. And that's Becton, and they got a couple others over there that wouldn't play and wouldn't play for my team. So their problems are on offense for the Jets. And if they don't get that together, we're going to be in the same position we were last year. I mean, this past season, they totally underachieved because their defense is top five.
Yeah, and it's really about keeping Aaron Rodgers off his back. And because I don't – with that offensive line, really, if you look at it, how much success would they have had? I know Aaron Rodgers brings a little bit more experience, actually a Hall of Fame pedigree to that situation. But at the end of the day, if he's getting rushed and doesn't have time to drop back and throw mid to deep route passes.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
He wouldn't be successful back there. And I think still Nathaniel Hackett, I think we're giving Nathaniel Hackett too much credit. I think that there are a lot of great young offensive coordinators out there that could work with Aaron Rodgers, that could utilize the skill set that he has. And I think you got to look at Nathaniel Hackett as maybe one being an issue that needs to be addressed too.
Yeah, but as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, Nathaniel Hackett is going to be there. Nathaniel Hackett is going to be there. I think he's pathetic. I think he's terrible, because I think he maybe had something to do with Zach Wilson not doing as well as he could, because he, you know, he's so much of an effective leader with Aaron Rodgers. So I just think that the pressure's on the entire coaching staff for next year. The entire staff will be gone if they don't win a minimum of number of games. So I just think that there's going to be so much pressure on the Jets. Maybe the pipes will burn. So I'm a little bit worried about that.
Yeah, and when you look at that, there, I mean, we have a lot of shows leading up to free agency and the draft. So we can catch up more on that in a little bit. But as we go into our next segment, we're going to talk about the playoff scenarios, teams that are in, teams that are playing this weekend. And I love what the NFL has done. They've set up the games in which if these two teams win, or these games that they're showing on primetime matter. So either team has a chance to make or break their playoff season. So it's exciting. I can't wait to get your feedback on that. But we'll be right back in a minute. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And you're watching us live on NFLAlumniMedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesday from 10:15 to 11:15. Check us out on YouTube beginning at 9 a.m. every Friday on YouTube. Check us out each and every Wednesday live on NFLAlumniMedia.com. BT, we were just talking about the NFL, and we went around the NFL and excited about how the NFL has made the schedule, and talking about the playoff picture and who's in, who's out, who's not. And I'm excited to see the fact that the games this Saturday are important. It kind of determines your seeding position. If you're in, if you're not, you got the 8 o'clock game. You got the Texans versus Indianapolis. Whoever wins that game makes it to the playoffs. So I'm excited how they kind of waited until the last game was over last week to put out a schedule, so you can kind of figure out how to watch the games and make it more important for these TV sponsors so that they get a lot of eyes and views on the show. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see that the Rams are an exciting team. Even though they didn't have a great showing against the Giants, I think anybody that plays them should be worried because they are explosive, and that's a scary team because you got to worry about they play well enough to beat you. And if they can manage the game and Coach McVay, he has to be in the mix for conversation for Coach of the Year. Absolutely. With Mike Tomlin and all those other guys, because look at what even D'Amico Ryans, I think Sean McVay had probably a worse expectation than D'Amico Ryans did because of what they've done. And so what McVay has done, he has to be in consideration. What do you think about that?
Well, see, I like Matt Stafford, a quarterback, because I think he's a true leader. He manages the game well. Yeah, he takes what the defense gives him. And I think that's a key for the Rams. They're 9-7 right now, still in the playoff chase. I'd be one of those teams that'd be least like to play the Rams because they're doing so well. On the other side, a lot of people, you know, think the Bucs are pretty good. The 8-8 against the Saints, 8-8. I don't agree with that. I'm not a Mayfield fan. I think he can't do the job. I'm looking for the Lions to step up big time. A lot of people don't think that they will, but I think when it's time to come, they got the coaching staff to do it. So it's going to be interesting. And I have to really give the NFL a lot of credit for them. At the end of the season, at the beginning of the season, they were talking about the flex where they can put people in. Now is really when it comes down to it, because if we can get all the good games, that's going to make the entertainment value even higher.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see. So I think the Lions is important to have a big game this week, especially heading into the playoffs. It's almost a must win, just to give them the confidence to know that they can play at the level that they need to play at to do some damage in the playoffs. I still don't think they're good enough to beat a powerful or like a loaded 49ers team, but I think the Lions have a lot to prove. And I think if nothing else, Dan Campbell has to win that wild card game in order for them to show their fans and people like us that they are for real.
The hard part about that is if they lose, people are going to say there was a fake from the very beginning. So really the pressure's on them to really step up to see and show people that they move forward. Because just because you make the playoffs after last year almost doing it is not good enough for the Lions at this point. But see, the thing that scares me also, Charles, is the Eagles. They lost a couple in a row. They haven't looked good all season. They got to end the season with the Giants. Question to you, if they beat the Giants, do they win the NFC East because they beat the Cowboys once? Or what is the deal on that? Because they're both tied at 11-5, which surprises me anyway.
Yeah, I think that if both teams, which the Cowboys are playing the Commanders, they should probably win that game easy. But it's a Washington-Dallas game, and you know how Washington always figures out a way. They had a huge game last week that they played well at last week. They stayed in the game. People thought they weren't going to stay in. You would think they would fold the tent given their situation. Yep. Coaching staff is probably gone after the season is over, but they continue to play hard. So I'm kind of concerned knowing how the Cowboys have folded. I think this could be a statement game actually going into the wild card series. I would hate the Cowboys and Eagles get the short end of the stick because they don't get a bye week. They're now the way that NFL has changed the playoff structure. You don't, the top two teams don't get a bye anymore. It's just the top team. So everybody's playing. And you look at the last seed in a wild card, it's either going to be the Packers, Seahawks, or Rams are going to be fighting for the last three seeds. If I'm the Cowboys, the Eagles, right? Cowboys, Eagles, or Lions, I really don't want to play any of those teams, to be perfectly honest. And think about this. The Eagles will probably, I would want to be the Eagles not being the number one team because I'm playing the Bucs. And the Bucs, out of all four teams, who would you be afraid of most? The Bucs, the Rams, the Packers, or the Seahawks? Who would you be afraid of most?
Well, I'm not sold on the Packers as of yet. And the Seahawks are so up and down, but they got a great coach in Pete Carroll. And I don't know if Geno Smith, because he's been injured the last month. And so I don't know if they, but they got a good defense. So I guess the Packers, who I don't like, probably are not going to be in it at all. I think that the team that I would worry about would be maybe, you know, the Lions, they're going to have the upper hand in the beginning, but there's more pressure on them to win because of how they started out the year. So it's going to be interesting because it's never like we said it is. That's why when we picked our games between each other, it's so close all the time.
Yeah, and that's exciting. We now turning our attention to the AFC. You look at the AFC. I still think the jury is still out on Miami. I think Kansas City just kind of cruises its way into the playoffs and turns it on. I think this year may be a little different because their wide receiver core isn't as good as it once was. I think we talked about it last week. They lead the league in drop passes. So there is something, and Kadarius Toney is probably the main culprit of that. Yep. Probably the arch enemy to the New York Giant fan base because they don't like him because of his time in New York. But when you look at the AFC picture, I love what Houston is doing. Houston has a chance to win the game. They beat the Colts. I think they have a chance to do damage. CJ Stroud has come on strong like gangbusters. I'm impressed what the Steelers are doing. I just don't think they have a chance to win. The odds of them making the playoffs, even though they're still in the hunt, are very small. I think the Colts and Houston would have to tie in order for Pittsburgh to even have a chance to make the playoffs. So when you look at the playoff scenario there, I think the Ravens have proven that they're the beast of the AFC. I think the Dolphins have, if they don't get their act together, they have a chance of getting beat. They better stay away from the Bills because right now they're looking at the Bills smack dab, and they play the Bills this weekend.
Yep.
And so they better win so they don't have to play them again and have a potential of losing. So it's going to be tough.
So I was kind of heading toward the Dolphins in the beginning, but when Baltimore put up 56 points against them, I think that has to kind of bring you down a little bit. And that's the second time, I think, this season that people have put up some points in the Dolphins. I think the Bills did earlier in the season. I think the Bills are warm right now, but Josh Allen's got to get hotter. He's not throwing big stats up there, but he's managing games. I don't think the Chiefs will be there when it counts. They want to defending Super Bowl champions. I don't think they'll be there at all. The Ravens are showing me the best. Them and the Browns are really playing extremely well, and I am shocked for the Browns because, you know, their big quarterback is not there. And they got Joe Flacco, who's 55 years old, coming in and doing a great job. And that shocks me because I watched him with the Jets. He didn't look good at all. And maybe he was working hard on his game. So my pick would be between the Ravens and the Browns to come out of the AFC because I don't think the Dolphins or the Bills whip. I don't think the Jaguars or the Colts or the Texans will beat Baltimore when it comes down to it. But like I said, that's why they play the games.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And think about that. The two teams that you like the best have the best two defenses in the AFC.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Absolutely. Because the thing about defense, that will get you somewhere. Offenses will get you there also. But the Ravens have the better offense right now than Cleveland. So it will be a defensive battle when they play each other to see who's going to be the representative of the AFC, possibly in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's great. Now I want to turn our attention to college football for a little bit because, you know, now that we had the college football playoffs, there was a big hubbub about Florida State not making it, and they got demolished against Georgia. They covered the highest point spread for a 4 or 5-6 matchup ever in college football for a top ranked team. 27.5 points. Georgia covered it easily because everybody left, wanted to go to the portal. What is going on with college football? Do they have a problem with this college portal where, you know, if I'm not starting, if I'm not getting enough money, if I'm not doing this, people are just packing their bags and leaving. Do you think that's good for college football?
Oh, heck no. And I blame the NCAA because they're the ones who misread the money. And what I mean by that is that you look at these big bowl games the top four teams go to, each team gets around 14 or 15 million for these. And the NCAA gets a little bit of that also. And then March Madness, the NCAA gets gigantic money from college basketball going into the tournament. And so I just think they mismanaged the money. They were trying to set up pension funds for the old guys. And I think they backfired on them because I never thought, and you probably didn't either, that you get to the point that they pay college football players. And the reason I say that is because I don't think a young man is mature enough, unless he's got a great background, for him to be able to take in, we'll say, we'll be conservative, $50,000 a year. We look at Cale, the guy Williams at the USC. They say he's making $5 or $6 million. And then you and I talked about him going up in the stands and crying with his parents because maybe they bet on the game or something. But see, I don't think that's good for college football, because why would you have any incentive to do things? Like the coach started yelling at you, why wouldn't you just blow them off? So I just think it's too deep for college football, and they got to figure out another way to do it, because you're making people, you know, average people drive around with Rolls Royces on the college campus.
Yeah, no, it is bad. Florida State had 20-something guys leave the team, and so I mean they were decimated, and rightfully so. They shouldn't have been in the college football playoffs. I love what the games were. Miami and Alabama, I mean Michigan and Alabama, was a great game. Went into overtime, and it kind of defined Harbaugh's tenure at Michigan. He obviously, every year he has been rumored to leave for the NFL, and hopefully this has kind of solidified him as the coach for Michigan for a good long time.
Well, he showed me that he's a good coach when he was back with Colin Kaepernick and led them to the Super Bowl. The decision making that he's made over the years is outstanding. Every time he went to a program, he turned it around. So, you know, some people don't like his attitude. Some people don't like his disposition, but he's a winner. And that's all you want. And from your coaches, to be able to put your players in a position where they can win. And I think that's what Michigan has done.
Yeah. And then what do you think about Steve Sarkisian? I mean, best team money can buy. Texas is probably one of the richest teams in the country, especially with their donor base and their booster base, is probably one of the richest college football programs in the country. When does he start feeling the heat? Because I know they're expecting national titles instead of just playoff shows showing up in the playoffs. When do you think he started feeling the pressure? They got Arch Manning as a backup quarterback. What got me is that during press day, the starting quarterback, Ewing, who was a darling of Texas, should have went to Texas coming out, decommitted and went somewhere else and came back, kind of put a bad taste in the fan base's mouth. But during press, everybody was talking to Arch Manning, who wasn't even starting, as opposed to Ewing, who was the guy that was starting. How do you think that makes you feel as a quarterback and as a teammate?
Well, the deep part for me, Charles, is I came in from the airport and I saw a guy with Manning jersey on. And so I thought it was either Eli or Peyton, but it was Archie. It was him having a jersey. He's a backup quarterback getting his jersey sold around the country. And so I think it's a matter of time before he takes over that system. He's a Manning. He has to come out and do well. So I just think that was probably a good move by the Texas quarterback to get on out of there. I don't know if he believes in that, but I just think Archie Manning is going to take over. I've been hearing about him since he was early in high school in his sophomore year. Think about it. He's got three uncles and a granddad who played in the NFL over 10 years each.
Yeah.
And so if you can't get something out of that, then you're wrong. And we talked about a long time ago about the quarterback staying 5 years, and this is the results of it. And I think that it should inspire more quarterbacks to take longer, prospective getting paid.
Yeah, and the fact that he's okay with redshirting, like, yes. it, you know, and people should take note of that. If you're a quarterback coming in, why not sit back, get used to the scheme, get used to the offense, get used to college football, college life, and then get started. And so hopefully, because of his name, he makes redshirting more of a thing instead of taboo and get and if I redshirt, I'm finding my way out of the college portal. And before we go to the next segment, what do you think about the fact that now they're trying to change the transfer system where you only get a chance to transfer one time instead of you can transfer a limited amount of times?
Well, the whole thing is ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. But then to be able to transfer two or three times, that don't even make sense. And you know, it's just almost like a pro team trying out somebody in a semi-pro. So I think they cannot continue to do it the way they want because there's too many players leaving and coming. I mean, even Deion Sanders, prime coach, prime time, he's getting so many players because other teams don't want him anymore. So it's going to help him, but I just don't think it's a good rule at all.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, you're listening to The Expressway with Charles Way and BT, the Billy Taylor. We have more for you. We're going to come back with our NFL Week 18 or Week 18 picks and see if we can wrap up this season with a W. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Way here with the BT Express Billy Taylor. And we are in the fourth quarter, one of our most special segments where we get into the final weeks of the season where BT will try to match his wits and skills with mine as we pick week 18's winners. So our first game is our Saturday games. And when we look at the Saturday games, BT, the first game we got, which I love the way they did it this year, because when you look at what they did this year is they put the two teams that actually have a lot to play for on Saturday night. So they got the Steelers and the Ravens. Steelers, I don't think Lamar Jackson is playing in this game. Steelers need to win this game in order to even have a consideration of a playoff hunt. So if they win this game, they're still in the playoff. The Texans and the Colts, who are playing right after them, would have to tie in order for the Steelers to get into the playoffs. But when you look at the Steelers-Ravens, I love what Mike Tomlin is doing.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I just think the Ravens, since they're not playing, they got the bye week. I don't see why they would rest their players since they do already have a bye. Keep them fresh. I think the Ravens win this game.
I'm going with the Steelers. Only reason is because I don't think the Ravens are going to put anybody out there to make it hurt. Since they already have wrapped up the division, then I think that it's just a matter of getting people rested and ready for the playoffs. So I don't think Lamar is going to play at all. I don't think so. So that's why I'm going to go against you and go with the Steelers.
All right. And Texans, Colts, I've been riding D'Amico Ryans every week. I'm going with the Texans, even though they're playing in Indy.
I'm going to go with the Colts only because you're going against the Texans and I'm going against you. But the reason is because the Colts have shocked me. They really have. They've played well without their great running back, Taylor. And I just think that they're playing at home. It's a tough situation for the Texans. I like the Texans, but I'm going with the Colts.
Buccaneers, Panthers, I'm going with the Bucs. They need to win.
I'm going with the Bucs also. So we're both going with them then.
Browns, Bengals, love what the Browns are doing. Even though this game doesn't mean anything, they got the sixth seed wrapped up, fifth seed wrapped up. I'm going with the Browns.
Well, I'm going with the Bengals only because they want to end the season very good. And I think that they have talent, except the quarterback got hurt. Other than that, they would be in it also. So you're going with the Browns. I'm going with the Bengals.
So this is a big game for both teams, Vikings and the Lions. Vikings still, even though slightly, still have a chance to make the playoffs. I'm going with the Lions because they need to go into the playoffs winning just to kind of give them the confidence. And they're playing in Detroit. I'm going with the Lions.
I'm agree with you on that because I don't have faith in the Vikings quarterback situation. And I think the Lions, if they want to get this thing going, then they got to win out. I mean, start getting momentum.
Jets and the Patriots, if you go with history, Patriots should win this all day, every day. I don't know who's the quarterback for the Jets. I'm going to bet against the Jets, even though I'm reluctantly betting against the Jets. I'm going with the Patriots.
All right, I'm going with the Jets only because they got a good defense, and it's going to be a defensive battle because Bill Belichick says that he's playing every game like it's his last. So, you know, I think it's important that they play, but I'm going to go against you, going with the Jets. You're going with the Pats.
Falcons versus the Titans. This is a must win for both teams, even though they probably have no chance of making the playoffs or winning the division because the Bucs are playing the Panthers. They're playing in New Orleans. I'm going with the Saints.
You're going with the Saints. Okay, I'm going to go with the Saints also, only because they're playing in New Orleans. So we'll both go with the Saints.
Jaguars, Titans. Jaguars actually need to win this game because they could potentially lose the division and be a seventh and drop down to number seven. Titans are no longer in the playoff hunt. I'm going with the Jaguars.
I'm agree with you on that because if the Titans are not in the hunt, people got their cars packed and ready to leave as soon as the game is over. And so that's why I think we both go with the Jaguars.
All right, Seahawks, Cardinals. Hey, Cardinals came off of a great win against the Eagles last week. And Kyler Murray has a lot to prove going into the offseason. Everybody has already said he has his bag packs. They're shipping him out. He's saying, hold your horses. I'm still the number one dude in the NFL. Just give me time, especially after what he did to the Eagles. I think this is going to be a hard game for the Seahawks, and they're playing in Arizona. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I'm going with an upset.
All right, I'm going to go with the Seahawks because they're favored, and they still have a chance for the playoffs. I do agree with you on Kyle Murray. He's gotten better than I thought he would, but he's still too little. That's my fault. He's still too little of a quarterback.
Bears versus the Packers. This will be a true rivalry game because the Bears have a huge opportunity to send the Packers packing if they lose this game. And it actually solidifies. They're playing in Green Bay. Weather isn't supposed to be great. So I'm gonna go with the Bears because I want to see Justin Fields continue his ascension as to a premier quarterback in the NFL. And this would be a good game to end the season on if he could continue doing what he's been doing.
Well, I think that both teams play in bad weather. But I like the quarterback of the Bears that he's coming on strong. He's going to get that big contract that everyone else gets. The Packers, I think, are still in that rebuilding mold with Love, and he still hasn't tried to prove that he's the best for the Packers. I don't know if he's going to be there that long, but if he continues to improve, maybe different. So we're both going with the Bears.
All right, Chiefs Chargers. This is even a game. I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chargers are favored, maybe because the Chiefs are resting people. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm going with the Chiefs on this one also. So both of us are going with the Chiefs.
Broncos versus Raiders. I'm hoping AP can pull this out. I'm going to go with the Raiders. I'm voting with my heart. I think the Broncos, they changed quarterbacks. Oh, and speaking of the Broncos, what do you think about the situation with Russell Wilson and the fact that they told him that if he doesn't rework his contract, he'll never play another snap for the Denver Broncos again this season.
That's deep. That's what the NFL is about. They run the show. They've been running the show for 100-something years. You can't go against them. If I was Russell Wilson, I would go ahead and take the pay cut because, otherwise you're going to be fighting an uphill battle that's going to be tough as heck. I don't think anybody else in the NFL will pay Russell Wilson that type of money. So if you want to keep playing, and he can go from like $40 million down to $25 million like Brady did, and still be able to help his team. So he can still live off him and his wife and two kids, still have a $25 million.
Yeah, I'm going with the Raiders in this game.
Okay, I'm going with you on the Raiders. No, yeah, I'm going with you on the Raiders also on that.
Okay.
Both going with the Raiders. No, next, I'm going with the Broncos. Excuse me. I'm going with the Broncos because, you know, they're still in the playoff contention. So I'm going with the Broncos. You're going with the Raiders.
All right. Eagles versus the Giants. Eagles, I'm talking about they're going to run the coach out of town if they lose this game. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I'm not going to go with my heart, even though I'm going to go with the Eagles.
I'm going to go with the Eagles, too, because if you think about it, they got to win. Their backs are against the wall. If they want to ward off the Cowboys and you know, get something going for themselves, because they lost two in a row. You don't want to go into the playoffs losing two in a row. We're both going with the Eagles.
Rams versus the 49ers. I think the Rams have already clinched a playoff spot. I think this is a game in which it'll kind of test them to see where they are. I don't think the 49ers will be playing a lot of their starters in this game. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
I'm going to agree with you and go with the Rams too, because I think the 49ers are going to rest everybody, even though they possibly may get that week off also. I think they're going to rest a lot of people. And the only problem in the past has been injuries. So I think they'll rectify that. So both of us are going with the Rams.
Next game, Cowboys, Commanders. Cowboys should win this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Commanders make it a great game. I'm going with the Cowboys.
I'm going to agree with you, which I hate to, because the Cowboys are not in my love swing triangle, but the Cowboys play well at home the last couple of years, and they'll be able to beat the Commanders.
Bills versus the Dolphins. The Dolphins, I think Tua is hurt. I don't know what his status is for the game. I think he got hurt last game. We talked about his issues of not being mobile enough. I think he's scared to even run out the pocket a lot. And so he's in the pocket. He's become a pocket passer now, more susceptible to getting beat up and hit. And the Bills have a dominating defense, and the Bills have been the hottest, probably the hottest team in the NFL so far. I'm going to go with the Bills.
I'm going to agree with you. And the thing that kills me about the Dolphins, and I've watched them all season because I got a partner who's a big Dolphin fan, and I got him tickets down there for the Giant Dolphin game. But anyway, problem is that he's standing in there in the pocket, and he's trying to do the right thing by getting rid of the ball quickly, but he doesn't have the versatility, the mobility, or the agility, I think, because of what has happened to him in the past. Even when he's in college, he was injured most of the time, came to the NFL, got a concussion. People didn't even know if he's going to play this year. He has improved tremendously, but I don't think he's going to do anything against the Bills, or we're both going with the Bills.
Yeah, and so as we wrap up the season, this NFL regular season, it's a lot. This has been an exciting season, a lot of storylines. I think the offseason, the NFL will keep the offseason going as well. We've got the Giants getting prepared for the offseason, get that trash bag ready. We'll come back next week and get the trash bag ready, have all our clothes in the trash bag, and hopefully we'll be back again next year, as they would say. So I'm excited to see what the end of the year brings for the Giants and Jets, and what the playoffs bring for the rest of the clubs that are still in the playoffs.
And the Giants and Jets want to end the season on a positive note, because that takes you really well into the offseason. So the week we had, week 18, I'm going with the Steelers. Charles is going with the Ravens. I'm going with the Colts. Charles is going with the Texans. We both are going with the Saints over the Falcons. You got the Browns. I got the Bengals. I got the Jets. You got the Pats. We both have the Jaguars over the Titans. We both have the Lions over the Vikings. We both have the Bucks over the Panthers. We both have the Cowboys over the Commanders. You have, did you pick the 49ers or the Rams? Or we both
did? I picked the Rams.
Okay, so we both got the Rams. We both have the Eagles over the Giants. We both have the Bears over the Packers. We both have the Seahawks over the Cardinals. We have, you have the Cards and I have the Seahawks, excuse me. I have the Broncos, you got the Raiders. We both have the Chiefs over the Chargers. I have the Bills and you're at the Dolphins. How many games am I leading so far? Because it's coming down.
I got to win three games, more than three. I got to win four games to overtake you.
Okay, we got good chances for this week coming up. But yep. Anyway, once again, Charles, outstanding job. It's always fun to work with Ben. Got to give Ben all the credit back in the studio. He makes Charles and I sound way better than we are. And don't forget, we're on every single Wednesday, sometime between 10:15 and 10:30. And then we come on live again on Friday mornings at 9 a.m. And the NFL season, I hate to see it close, but this is the stuff what it's all about. This is when you make your name in the NFL, when you get to the playoffs, and this is when the cream is going to come to the top. This is going to be fun as heck. It's been a fun season so far. I'm looking forward to a great postseason. And this last game of the season, it's just a matter of putting people in the correct position. Your final thoughts on Week 18 season, Charles?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Saturday's game is going to be exciting. I can't wait to see Sunday night football game, the Bills and the Miami. I can't wait to see the Eagles and the Giants, because if the Giants continue to improve and make it a game and scare the Giants, you know what would be the greatest thing that happened during this game is the Giants beat the Eagles, because that's what the Eagles have done to the Giants throughout their entire careers. It's always kind of ruined our season one way or another. Let's just put, you know, as they go into the playoffs, let's put a bad taste in their mouth and let's beat the Eagles.
Well, I hope the Jets can beat the Pats and end in a positive season, get the 7th victory. But I just always worry about Bill Belichick. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. For Charles Show Me the Way, I'm BT, the BT Express. Have a good week, everybody. And for Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. And thanks, Ben, in the studio for helping us out. Happy holiday, everybody. Happy New Year.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.